Welcome to another Carl on Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, an interesting subject today. Let's talk about photography, sports photography. I think it has a huge impact.
Do you know any decent sports photographers?
Well, there's been quite a few. Well, you know, around the world, there's I know locally, Peter Argent sort of does a lot of work, and he's come along really nicely. And a lot of his work would be up with the best.
Anyone closer to home? Like maybe in the room that we're currently in?
Oh, you're a photographer. Well done, Sean.
Not me. No, I'm a terrible photographer.
No, I do
taking
like...
some pretty good shots. I see the stuff on Facebook with the baseball and softball. And
well, look...
some pretty good photos in there.
But we can talk about that because the thing is, I'm inspired by a lot of the work that other people do. And as a journalist, there's writing a story... What can enhance? There's two major things that can enhance a story to make it better. One is a good headline, and the other is a good picture. So if you've got a good photograph to go with the story, it makes people want to read the story. So it has been an inspiration for me to see the work of so many good photographers, sports photographers, over the years.
What's the old saying? A picture is
tells a thousand words. Yeah, tells a story. Yeah.
Yeah, and they do tell stories, don't they? And you're right, when you sometimes see, it's what grabs your attention.
Yeah.
And so that makes you stop and then have a look in more detail.
You know, I've been talking to a few people, like, you know, I take photos of the baseball and softball and footy and stuff, and I'm often talking to other people that are trying to get into taking photos, and they say to me, oh, how did you get this shot and how did you get that shot? Well, basically it's trial and error. You've got to know the sport. You've got to go out there... experiment a bit, look for different angles, look for different scenarios. I mean, there's so much more than just, you know, pressing your button. You've actually got to really do a little bit of work in regards to what you're looking for. What type of shot, you know? Is it capturing history? Is it looking for action shots? Is it, you know, what type of story you're trying to tell? You're trying to capture the winning moment, the mood, the emotions, the loser. I mean, sometimes a portrait of the losing team or person can tell a better story than that of the winners.
Well, that's the sadness and anguish, isn't it? You see it after the big games, like I think of our AFL grand finals, when players are just going and they're just not quitting. And when that last siren goes, the difference between the two teams, like typically... the losing team just drop to the ground, their hands in their head, that type of thing, and the winners all jump in the air, they're hugging each other, and you see obviously the photographers out there getting all those different images, and they tell a story, and that's what sport is. Sport is about emotion, isn't it? It's about achievement, but also part of being successful is, of course, failure. So getting all those different emotions, even when people are just happy and relaxed and enjoying what they're doing.
Well, look, watching the SNFL Grand Final over many, many years, the one image that always sticks in my mind is the losing team. They sit down, their heads are bowed. You can almost feel the contrast between that and the winners.
You can. And you just feel like you can put yourself in their situation, even if you haven't been in that, you can actually know, you can see their emotion and you can feel for them. You can either feel sad or you can feel happy for them, depending on which team you're barracking for.
And I think that's one of the tricks in banner photography is you're kind of always looking to get that shot of the winners. So consequently, a lot of shots of the losing team get missed out because of that. But they can just be just as poignant.
They can be. So have you got a favourite, though?
Look.
I mean, it's hard to pick a favourite, isn't it?
It is. But, like, I remember, just for me personally, 1985, the first Grand Prix in Adelaide. I went down there and I found this spot. I was taking these photographs. I got a shot of Alan Jones and his Ferrari coming around the bend. And it's always been one of my favourites, simply because I know nothing about motorsports in that regard. I really trekked right around the track to find that spot. I waited patiently, and I got my shot. So I'm pretty happy with
that. And 1985, that was before digital cameras?
Yes, yes.
So that was the old day of films?
Yeah.
Actual film strip?
Yeah, you used to have the up to 36, and that's all you had, mate.
And you didn't actually, therefore, know whether you had a decent photo? Would that be fair?
Yeah, you have to wait a week or so before you can develop.
But isn't that, like, and that's something I was thinking as we were, like, talking about this idea. You think, well, today's technology, does that make it easier? Because you can take a number of shots, you can see them clearly, you can make decisions on the go about whether you're in a good position, is this a good place to take a photo from? Does the technology, you think, today mean that we get better or better quality photos, or maybe more of them?
Look, there's positives and negatives. I mean, one of the negatives is the fact that you're taking so many photographs and you've got to cull them down and you've got to pick one. And sometimes that choice can be pretty hard and you may choose the wrong one. Whereas in the old days, you knew you were limited in how many photos you could take. So you prepared better for it. You kind of knew that you had to set this up to get it. So there was probably more thinking about it. So there was a lot more satisfaction in taking the photograph, a lot more work. So, you know, you get what you, if you work hard, you reap the benefits. Whereas today, you can get lucky sometimes. I know I've been lucky.
You can take a number of shots in a very short succession.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the great thing, is that, and that's why technology probably means that we will have. I mean, you talked about history. We can look back in sport, and there are really historical images, aren't there, of certain things that happen in different sports. And I think, you know, looking in the future now, we will have the amount of images that we'll be able to see and look at and reminisce about will be much greater.
It's incredible. Just to highlight the two different eras, I spoke about the Formula One car. I was out photographing our local Gawler Rangers baseball club, and I was just inside the fence, so I was vulnerable to a ball or something hitting me. And I had this guy, I wanted to get the swing where he swings the bat and he comes round, so you have the full action of the bat. So I was planning on taking 5 or 6 snap type shots, and I didn't even realise this, but I sensed something. I quickly got out the way, but when I looked at my photograph afterwards, I actually had the bat almost hitting me.
Oh, wow.
And it was, he lost the bat, it came out of his hands, so you can see the guy's swinging with his hands, and the hands are in the air, and there's no bat, but above that, and almost on my head, was a bat.
That's great.
I didn't obviously plan that one.
Well, you planned it to perfection because you didn't get hit.
Well, yeah, in that sense, but the photograph was a really good photograph, and the funny thing is, I did enter that into a competition, and I got told, all this guy's done is he's got some guy to hold a bat up in front of him. And that's because no one could believe that you took a photo like that. So that's the beauty of digital, I suppose.
I better say, though, over the years, back in the days when I was competing, some of the photographers, gee, they were annoying, though, when they'd come out, not taking photos of you competing, but when they'd come out to take photos of you for a story, they were always trying to look for some angle or something different. And I remember a time when they were doing a story on Sharon and I, because we were engaged and we were both athletes, and, you know, a nice little story like that. And this guy wanted me to pick Sharon up and throw her over the high jump bar. And I thought, come on, mate, I'm not a circus clown here. You know, let's just get a nice photo and move on. But they always, I think it's because what you're talking about before isn't they want to get something different. That is so people go, wow, that's different. I'm going to have a look at that, and therefore buy the newspaper or whatever it was back in the day.
Well, they're not all bad, though. I remember Ray Titus, who was at the Advertiser News at sort of for many, many years. He's retired now, but I remember back in about 2004, I think it was, my son Sam broke the under 14 triple jump record, which was held by Greg Anderson for 26 years. Now, Greg Anderson, the AFL footballer, Port Adelaide footballer, they got him to come out to Santos Stadium, and they had him looking, and they had Sam jumping with Greg in the background. Yeah. And I thought, you know, so sometimes I come up with some good ideas and take some good photos, so you've got to take your hat off to them. But, you know, when you look at a photo, what are you looking for? I mean, different things attract me at different times. I mean, sometimes it's the mood. I mean, you know, when you get weather affecting games, a bit of lightning in the background, or you know, you get mud on the players, you know, or dirt from sliding, or even just, you know, like a drowned rat, it's been raining that much.
I think you can catch it. You know, I love surfing. I have never surfed, and I never will, I imagine. But I just love some of those surfing photos you get because, you know, like we all know the power of the ocean, and you got those massive waves and some, and you get the, they get some great photos, and you see those photographers in the water bobbing around, where you've got people going and all, and that you think, wow, that's there, that's dangerous in itself. But sometimes they get that just that perfect shot where you can you see that the surfer on the surfboard, full, you know, completely balanced, and that huge wave sort of wrapped around them. And some even some of the ones when they sort of take them from underwater, and you get those different sort of colours and images, and those type of things where you can almost feel the like the power of the water and what the surfer has to do. And the same with some of those other sports, you can just feel, you can actually feel the speed or feel the strength or whatever it might be that's happening at the time.
Yeah, look, it's amazing. When you see an action photo like where they highlight speed for argument's sake, you, they have to meet a sprint and you focus on the top runner that's in front and you get this real sense of speed and everyone else is a bit blurred and he's sort of like clear. Those types of shots are really difficult.
There's a great photo of Usain Bolt when he won the 100 in 2008. And for me, there was an image where he was crossing the line and the rest of the runners were all pretty much in a line, but probably 5 or 6 metres behind. And to me, you think, wow, like that's a great photo in itself, capturing that moment. But it also showed his dominance as an athlete because you think, there's the 10 best male sprinters in the world. And looking at that photo, he is clearly better than the others. And so imagine for him, that would be, I imagine he's probably got that stuck up somewhere at home.
Then you look at the history photos. We were going through photographs before we did the show, and you're looking at a photo and you identify the moment and the time. They're very poignant in regards to capturing history. And at the time when they took those photographs, they may not have been aware of the significance historically, but they've survived the the test of time, and they're still looked upon as classical photographs that you try to emulate.
Yeah, I think for example, like Peter Norman again at Mexico Olympics, the Black Power salute when he after the 200 meters, and like that for, again, it tells a story about the time, doesn't it? It tells about society and what was happening in society, and even though that is a there's a photo of people on the dais at the Olympics. It actually tells a lot more about what was going on in the world at that particular time. And having a white Australian and two black athlete, American athletes in having that Black Power salute is very, very strong image.
And, of course, Peter Norman was supportive of it.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, I think he was one that came up with a suggestion. One of them didn't have gloves, so he said to them, just have one glove each.
Well, I've read different stories about this, and so he has spoken about that a few times. And so, it just shows what was happening in the world at the time. And sport, of course, can be that way of everyone being equal, isn't it? Like, sport has that ability to bring all races together and all people from all around the world and to put on the stage. You think, for example, Jesse Owens in the 1936 Olympics competing in Berlin. Wow, just what was going on behind the scenes is amazing.
So I did see a photograph recently. You're probably aware in 1958, Port Adelaide beat Westies by a couple of points, and Westies hit the post late in the game, and the rumour is that they cut the post down afterwards, come at night time, et cetera, et cetera. There was a photograph someone had posted, and they found it from the paper of the time, and it was obviously taken about the point where the ball would hit the post. And it shows Coach Jack Odie, who coached West Adelaide at the time, and all these supporters. And you got all these supporters with these anguished looks on their face because of that. And all the other ones, obviously Port supporters, were happy.
Yeah.
And to capture something, a photograph I've never seen before,
yeah,
but I know the situation, it really sort of hits home quite a bit.
At that very moment, isn't it? And it's amazing how often that happens. Like, and you think, again, some of those images from the past, that's why I think that they mean so much, because we talked about that just before, the technology and the availability of taking those photos. But to get those images at that split second is amazing.
Of course, there's all the different types of angles. I mean, the aerial shots are absolutely brilliant. The low down, where you can get low down, so you have the effect of really coming at you. The photos where, for argument's sake, I saw a photograph where they're lining up at the start of a hurdles race, and they're looking through the hurdles, and there's one athlete that is pinpoint sharp. You can see other athletes sort of through other hurdles and stuff, but that was very unique. So that photographer came up with an idea and presented that idea, and it was stunning.
And you wonder how many times that they had to take that image to get the right one.
Well, the fact that they even thought about doing it was just brilliant. And look, we're running out of a bit of time now, but I would love to continue another session on sports photography somewhere in the new year.
That was an interesting topic, Rob. Yeah.
Well, so ends another Carlin Low Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.